FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 19th, 2018. I am at the North American Bitcoin Conference in chilly, lovely downtown Miami, Florida. Didn't have to drive too far to get to it. Finding out the latest info on the blockchain, and this space is moving so quickly, you just cannot believe it. The innovations taking place here, the products, the services, it's remarkable. We're going to be doing a lot of interviews, so you definitely want to stick around for this. And as always, participate, be part of the show. It's great to get your emails, kl@kerrylutz.com. So I've got Dr. Cliff Gross with me, a fellow transplanted New Yorker. The company is Lucid, L-U-C-Y-D. And Cliff, welcome to the show.
Oh, great to be here. Thank you for having us.
Hey, well, so you've got these AR glasses, and AR, it's a new term for me, not that new, but augmented reality. Isn't our regular reality enough? Do we really need to augment it?
Well, think about it as an enriched visual experience, adding information on top of what you're seeing to allow you to do things better, faster, have more fun, more enjoyable, more information. And we think it's actually necessary, not just a neat thing to do. And there are so many applications. I mean, one, for example, my daughter, who's a surgeon, was telling me, "Dad, I really want to get these smart glasses so when I'm doing procedures, I could help confirm the diagnosis and classify the tissue that I'm looking at more quickly." So that's an example of how additional information could make your work better and your life easier and more enjoyable.
Hey, and they look pretty darn good as well. We'll try to get a slide up on the show notes to the interview. But they also look good because nobody wants to look nerdy like those Google glasses. Really, they didn't cut it on the stylish level, and they weren't very useful either, were they?
Well, Google Glass really showed what was possible. So it was a breakthrough. It was a remarkable sort of step up. But as with any new technology, there's a trajectory that you have to follow before you can get to mass market adoption. And our philosophy is that smart glasses are really upgraded glasses. They're not just consumer electronic products, which means that first and foremost, you have to have good glasses with the proper corrective prescription. They need to be lightweight. They need to be ergonomic, something you're willing to wear all day long. So our goal is to make the first ergonomic smart glasses. And to do this, we've acquired a portfolio of the rights to 13 patents developed at UCF. And we've assembled a really remarkably good team for a young company of optics and augmented reality experts to design the glasses so that they can be thin, lightweight, incorporate prescription lenses, and have a wide field of view.
Yeah, well, so just, Cliff, give us some other examples of potential applications for this revolutionary eyewear.
Well, if you're walking down the street, and just like you would do with, let's say, a Google Map program or a navigation program, you could say, show me the closest Starbucks, and then the path to the Starbucks can appear right on your glasses. If you're in a store and you're looking at a jacket you may want to buy, you could scan the UPC code and the price of the jacket can come up in a little box. And if you want to, you can use your voice to purchase the jacket, either in the store right then and there, or you can ask for alternatives and perhaps buy it on Amazon or some other online supplier.
So effectively what you're saying is it really adds another dimension to your sight, effectively, so there, ergo augmented reality. So, because right now you would have to look down at your smartphone, scan the code, the barcode, and then all that stuff would come up on your phone. And this is why I see this as potentially a cure for our distracted society. Whenever you walk around, you see everybody's like looking at their smartphones, not really connected, not really paying attention. attention. So this could help end some of that distraction, huh?
Yeah, I think it's has the potential to do that. It's actually pretty biologic. I mean, about 50% of the cerebral cortex is dedicated to processing images. And that's why people are kind of glued to their mobile phones and tablets. But if you're walking around in the world and you're doing things, it's nice to have the information displayed in context over what you're actually seeing. So it actually makes it easier to process the enriched information. And there's really a host of applications where it can make things safer and better to do as well.
Yeah, well, right now, my calendar, my alarm goes off. I'm either looking at my watch, my Apple Watch, or I'm looking at my phone. It would be nice to have that alert up on my glasses saying, all right, appointment at 11, you know, get going. It's going to take you 20 minutes to get there. You better leave now.
Yeah, I think that's a really good example. I think it would just make the interaction of computer-generated and artificial intelligence-generated information sort of coplanar with what you're actually looking at.
It's pretty cool. So how does all this fit in with the blockchain now, Cliff?
Well, we've decided to do a token generation event to fund the development of these smart glasses because it's a complex product, has a lot of technology in it, requires a pretty large team to get it right. And we've done it for a couple of reasons. One, because we think that a lot of the blockchain investors are technologically sophisticated, and so they potentially could be early adopters for this technology. But in terms of the token utility, our token actually has real utility. You could buy the glasses with the token. You could buy the apps that will power the glasses with the token. And then you could do peer-to-peer transactions, which means you could send tokens to a friend that might be wearing the glasses. And the glasses themselves will have a hardware wallet incorporated within them. So we think it's really unique, and it's the first application of augmented reality to the blockchain, where we actually have a physical device that sort of crosses over. One other feature that's related to the blockchain, which we think is really interesting, is for the app developers, and we're going to leverage an external community of software developers. We already have 8 companies that have signed strategic alliances with us to develop apps for the glasses. Just as a side note, no matter how good the glasses may ever be, they will only be as good as the software that powers them. So we really want to open up the software development to the external world, to the development community. And we're going to enable the developers of successful software products to earn tokens based on how well rated their products are by the user community. So we feel this will accelerate or may accelerate the development of the app ecosystem for our smart glasses.
Hey, so just to clarify one point, Cliff, obviously if you wear corrective lenses and these are stylish, you'll be interested. But even if you don't wear corrective lenses, I mean, you could be wearing these for sunglasses or transitions, so the lenses are clear, then you hit the sun and they get dark, right?
Correct. Well, glasses in the current format were actually developed and manufactured in 1290 in Pisa, Italy. So that's 728 years of a form factor being well received and adopted by the world. And so we don't want to go against that form factor. We want to sort of enhance it further with information. So that's why we're looking at ergonomic smart glasses.
Pretty cool. I guess maybe contact lenses could be next, huh?
Well, I don't want to venture into that, but there is technology, but not what we're working on right now.
All right. Hey, Cliff, if we want to find out more, connect on you on the web, connect with you on the web, where do we go?
It's lucyd.co, LUCYD.CO. And really, thank you very much, Kerry, for taking the time to learn more about it.
Hey, and I appreciate your educating me, Cliff. Hey, questions for Cliff or the show, KL@KerryLutz.com. Don't forget, Twitter feed @KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. And we've got a lot more exciting opportunities. I don't want to call them companies. They are companies, but that brings up a whole nother aspect of the emerging regulation of the industry. But there's a lot more coming up. I'll try to get to 4 or 5 different ones that you won't have heard of. This one is certainly the most fascinating, and they've actually been nominated for best pitch of the show. Anyway, Cliff, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.